From the Shepherd House International in Georgetown, Guyana, Bishop Victor Connors Asabre, anointed by God, will inspire you with rare and down-to-earth but provoking teachings from the Word of God, to love the Lord deeply and to devote yourself to His work. Discover how God can change your life and ministry forever. Now, here is Bishop Collins.
Father, thank you. We are blessed because we ate and we drank. We are free because we ate and we drank the body and the blood of Jesus. Nobody is living sick. Nobody is living depressed. Nobody is living with heavy loads on their head, on their shoulders, because of this Holy Communion. Thank you. We celebrate this victory in Jesus' name. Somebody said amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Try and preach for the few minutes we have. Yesterday I was sharing the scripture with some people. I want to start from that. It's James chapter 1. James. You know James? Not your old boyfriend James. This is Holy James. Alright? Yeah, James chapter 1. But this is Brother James, not Uncle James. Thank you. Uncle James is not a good one. Yeah. Verse 20 is an interesting scripture, but let's start from there. Verse 20 of James chapter 1. I'm glad to be in church this morning. All right. So the Bible says, "For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God." This is just a bonus. I just want to just... It's a bonus. You see, most of the time, when people think that, people find pastors or churches or Christians, you get angry with them. They think that now, God should respond to it. Are you with me? When you don't like a pastor or you don't like a church, you wish that the church will not work. But God doesn't think the way you are thinking. So the Bible says that the wrath of man does not make God do anything right. So you're wasting your time by not liking somebody or by not hating somebody. When you hate somebody, it doesn't mean that God hates that person. No, God is not on your side. You can't move God to do the things that you want Him to do. It's a very nice scripture. What do you think? So the wrath of man, the anger of man, does not make God stand up and do what you want to be done right. A lot of us, you don't like this man, you don't like this person, you don't like this situation, that thing you don't like does not make, God will not do anything because of that. It does not work the righteousness of God. So make sure that you are cool and collected, okay? The next verse says what? Verse 21, "Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity," is an English, "of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word." Receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." Time and time again, we have not become better because we don't receive the word of God. I said we have not become better, not because God is not good, not because the church is not a good church. It's because you are not a good person. You don't receive the word of God to change. Yeah. You don't receive the word of God to change. If you were to receive the word of God to change, things are going to be better for you. So you get deceived to think that, oh, it is this rather that will bring a difference in my life. No. The main thing, if you're a Christian, am I talking to Christians this morning? Yeah. If you're a Christian, you have to understand that it is receiving the word of God that brings a change in your life. So when the Bible says do this and you do that, that's what brings a change. Are you there? Yes. "And for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass." The New Living Translation says that you beholding his face in a mirror. "For if you listen to the word and don't obey, it is like glancing at your face in a mirror." So the word of God is like a mirror. So this morning we are going to look into a mirror. Yeah, and it's going to be interesting to see how you look in the mirror. If you don't want to look in the mirror, then I think you should just give your offering and go. Yeah. Not the mirror in your house. This is the mirror of the word of God. Mirror, mirror on the wall. And this mirror here, it is not by us. This mirror is not doesn't side with black people or green people or Indian people. This mirror is God's mirror. And anything about you, you see it right in the mirror. And you see, that is the thing. Because we don't receive what the mirror is telling us, that's why we still look ugly. Yeah. That's why we still look ugly. If you look ugly, it's because you are not believing what the mirror is telling you. Yeah. Yes. I'm also happy I have that mirror. It doesn't lie. Mm-hmm. It means that God is the one who is actually going to talk about you. Not the bishop. If you think it's the bishop, you're mistaken. Yeah. One day God told me something. I was amazed. I was talking to somebody and a person came over very disrespectful. So I said, you don't talk like that. What do you mean? And I got a message from the Lord a few days later. He says, I was the one who was talking. That is why it sounded like disrespect, because the person cannot talk to you like that. I can talk to you anyhow I want. It's not natural. But I was looking at the natural because how come Pastor Keith talk to me like that? He told me a few days that he was the one who... So it's like, we are talking and then you speak and you sound disrespectful and it's God who's speaking. How do I assess? How do I even know? He told me, I was the one who spoke. Because I am the only one who can speak with such authority over your life. That church... That pastor or that person you're talking about can't talk to you naturally like that. I said, it's true. So as I'm speaking, I don't know which one God is saying to you. I say, why the man talking me name? Is the man talking your name? If only the man knows your name, he will actually mention your name directly. I will say, Diane Payne. Yeah, then you feel that is you I'm talking about. So when you feel it, you say, you should go on your knees and say, Lord, I'm sorry. Don't say, why the bishop talking my name? Bishop man, Mr. Bishop man. We are not very honest about with ourselves. So when we hear God speak to us, we refuse and we reject it. It's not very so nice to hear the truth. The truth hurts. I said, truth hurts bad. Yeah. It hurts bad. Yeah. And it's very interesting how you see human beings want to still walk in sin and walk in bad things. Just because your pride is touched with the truth. It's fantastic. Yeah. So this morning I want to talk about faith. Right? I want to talk about faith. And the Bible says that we Christians will live by faith. So if you don't have faith, it means you can't live. That's what the Bible says, faith without works is dead. So if you don't have faith, it means that your life is a dead life. Again, it's very tricky because if you don't have faith, you can live a normal life on earth and you're thinking that you have, but thinking that you are alive, but you are dead. Yeah, because when God told Adam and Eve that from the day that you eat of this fruit, you shall surely die. When they ate the fruit, they didn't really die naturally. So I'm sure if you were there in those days, Samson, you would say, oh, but God, you are lying. Because he said that when they eat, they will die. How come they are not dead? No, you have to understand that when God speaks, it's something else. You know what we are accustomed to. Are you there? So if you don't have faith, you still live. You still bath. You still go to work. You still do those. But you're actually dead. You are living dead. Yeah. The angel, the Lord spoke to the church in the book of Revelation. He said, you have a name alive, but you are dead. There are many, many people who have names alive, but they are dead. There's not a single drop of faith in your life. If you're a Christian, we live by faith. We don't live by your job. We don't live by money. We don't live by our status and what we think we know. We live by faith. Faith. And faith is very interesting because faith is actually nothing. Faith is believing in nothing. Faith is believing in something that you can't see. It's nothing. How can I believe that God is here when I've not seen him? What are you talking about, Mr. Bishop Man? I don't understand. God is here. Where is he? You can't see him. He's sitting on the fan as the fan is rolling. You wait and see. How can somebody sit on the fan as it's rolling? Will he not fall down? Well, what you know will fall down, but what I know will not fall down. Yes. So we live by faith. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. So everything we get, everything we depend on, can only come by your faith. So the things you don't get by faith, they are not from God. Your hard work is not necessarily from God. It's not by might, not by power. You see, when God gives you things, it blows your mind away. It surprises you. When God gives you something, the sign of it is that you know that you didn't work for this one here. This one just came. Yeah. So I was teaching yesterday about your life's work. There are some jobs, when you go to the job, you don't even want to leave the job. That's why when we come here, I don't want to go home. And you want to go home quick. Because you have not found what is your life's work yet. Yeah, exactly. Oh, Charlie, I'm even leaving. As the man is preaching, I'm leaving. Because this is not where your life is. Yeah. I remember you. You all right? Think about it. What God gives you, your sweat does not give you. You see, I was talking to my little daughter the other day, and she says, well, you know what? She wants to finish school quickly and come and live in Guyana. I said, oh, why? She said, oh, I don't have to pay rent. See, that is one of the lessons I want them to learn by sending them abroad. It's because when you don't have something, you always crave for it. When you get it, then you realize that there's nothing about this thing here. You see, so them living here with the license and the visa to go any part of the world with the passport they have, they can easily blame their father and their mother one day and say that you took me to a place and they didn't send me anywhere. And this work is not money for me to be sending you all over the place today, tomorrow. It's not about money. So send them away. And then as they are staying with their auntie, and it's like and they think that I can be in my father's house and even don't do nothing and enjoy, then indeed you are actually learning from what I actually wanted you to learn from. That even though this place looks so fancy and looks so nice, and the food is good, and the clothing is nice, there's no rest there. And this life is about rest, not about clothes. It's about lying down on your bed and sleeping. Even when your alarm wakes you up, you are not even waking up. Not that when you lie on your bed, you can't sleep. Because you're studying something. You're studying your mortgage. You're studying your car. You're studying something. All kinds of things. I said, this girl is beginning to think straight. Yeah. I said, what do you think? That I'm stupid? That I left there and I came here? I gave birth to you. You think I'm stupid? You rather the one who don't understand what's going on. I'm at peace because I learned things in life. A little food, a little clothing is enough in this life. You have not learned it yet. So you want to chase after fantasies. Oh, you come back. We are all here. We'll see you. You go. You use all your energy and chase the fantasies. I was very happy when she said that. She said, I want to do quick and come back and live in Guyana. I said, why? I said, because I won't pay rent. I said, but you are not paying rent now. Because she's looking at the future. Yeah. My big daughter is doing a part-time job. So she's always talking about money. I said, but you... He said, oh, my travel card, because you need a card to travel on the bus and the train. You pay it monthly. So when she works, that's almost like all the money goes into her travel card. So I said, oh, you think about it. I said, you ain't done yet. Think about when you are by yourself. You have to pay rent. You have to buy that same travel card. You have to pay light, water. Because one day my food... My sister was telling me, my little daughter, when she goes to the bathroom, she opens the pipe like she's working at GWI. She thinks she's in Guyana. Sure, people are counting the water that is dripping. Oh, what kind of stress is this? Look at water we have around. You can go to the back and jump into the creek. Many waters. And somebody, as you are in the bathroom, they are hearing how long you are in the bathroom for. I'm just saying that by faith, God gives you things. By faith, you live. And through faith, you get things that you actually don't work for. If you work for everything you have, you should be sad because you don't have faith. Yeah. You must get some free things, especially those of you who only get money once a month. You should really ask God for mercy and kindness. Yeah, because I don't get only my salary. I get money along the week, along the month. So how? I don't know. It just comes. Yeah. Yeah. No, my salary is not one. My salary is plenty. That's why I'm able to do the things I do. What do you think? That my lifestyle is just the salary you people pay me. It's not enough. I'm just content with it, but it's not enough. It can't run my lifestyle. It's marked. It has its things it goes into. It's finished. I can't build a house with the salary you people give me. Did you build a house with salary from Concurs and Brock Tita and syrup? You could build a house from that. You got to be a very good manager to build a house from $20 and $40 and $60. Yeah. I remember when I went to, was it Canada I went to last year or something like that? Man, when I was coming, I was a millionaire. The money the people gave me, and I converted it to Guyanese dollars. I said, where? Here cometh a millionaire to Guyana. Yeah. It's fantastic. That you go and stand in front of a church, preach for 45 minutes, 3 days. And then you get so much money that somebody has to work 6 months of their life to get that same money. It's miraculous. It's mysterious. How can you do this? And this is how people who are not pastors are always jealous about us. But our life is a life of faith. Where is your faith? Show me your faith and I'll show you your works. Show me your works and I'll show you your faith. Yeah. I tell you. I was surprised. The pastor is, you know, is a good friend of mine. And he gave me a lot of thousands of Canadian dollars. Yeah. The day when I was leaving, he said, Charlie, this is from me and my wife. So I went inside quiet and I went to count it. So after all the church members at the convention, I said, oh, Bishop. I said, God bless you. Bring it. God bless you. Thank you. Take it. Hey. I sat down one evening, I put all of them together, I started counting. There's no machine. I gotta sit down and count. You put 100 here, put 50 here, put 20 here. Yep. put a rubber band inside it, do a breakdown, say, hey! What a blessing. Yeah. So then when I come, if I'm doing a project, I can push the money into the project. It's not salary. It's the ones that come by faith. When I was going there, I didn't expect anything like that. It's not because I wanted money, that's why I went to Canada. Walk by faith. So you must have faith. Then when you have faith, the faith must work for you. There's no need of having faith and the faith is put to sleep. Faith is like a gun. You have to use it. If you have faith, you have to use faith. There's no need in having faith and not using it. Because it is the exercise of your faith that actually brings you results. Faith is the substance of things you hope for. And there are so many things we hope for in this life. And so to bring those hopeful things into reality, you have to exercise your faith. You have to exercise your faith. Have to use it. Otherwise, it will not benefit you. So this morning, afternoon, evening, it's a good day. Sometimes you don't even understand what faith is. I think we spoke about faith being what? Faith loves adventure. If you have faith, your life is not boring. Some of your life is a very boring life. No excitement. You think about Peter walking on the water. What do you think? Is it adventurous excitement or not? Man! It's exciting. Moses with, is it Aaron and Hur? On the hill. Moses' hands were up and Israelites, they were defeating the Amalekites. When his hands came down, it reversed. So he had to lift his hand up and the people, hey! Joshua asked God to not let the sun go down. Give him some time so he can kill the enemies. So God kept the sun shining for. That is why we have February a few times in a year. We have a leap year. That's the evidence of Joshua's battle, this prayer. So February is 29 days in sometimes. Because Joshua extended, made God extend the day. So the calendar can't catch up with it unless they translate it into a day. Yeah, that's why we have a leap year. Yeah, that's why you come to church to know some things. So the 29 days in February is as a result of Joshua's prayer for God to keep the sun up. Because remember, when the sun is up, it doesn't mean that the time has stopped. And the time runs, and then it's like it's midnight, but it's now that darkness is coming. So you have to adjust the time to even move, push it forward for it to be like midnight. And then by doing that, you have actually added about 12 hours or a day to the calendar. So it's like as the earth is revolving around, that's what happens. Yeah. It's adventurous that the sun will just stay on, and you are fighting, you are killing the enemies. What kind of life do you want again? Yeah. I'm saying to come to Guyana, it's adventurous. Yeah. To live in a country where you don't know anybody, it's adventurous. Yeah. To wake up every Sunday morning, prepare a message and come and preach, it's adventurous. Yeah. Going to people's homes and calling them and come to church, calling, it's adventurous. Yeah. Faith, if you have it, loves adventure. Today, faith is obedience. Faith is obedience. And obedience is faith. You see, the Bible equates faith with obedience. It means that obeying makes you a man of faith. Let's remember Abraham. Do you remember Abraham? Remember Abraham, right? Father Abraham has many sons. Many sons, sons, Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you. So let us praise the Lord. All over the world, Father Abraham is popular. Yeah, he has many sons. He has many sons because he was ready to give up his only son. The Bible says if you save it, you will lose it. And if you lose it, you will gain it. So God told Abraham to go and sacrifice his son in Genesis chapter 22. He obeyed. That's why he's called a man of faith. His obedience was imputed to him as righteousness. Faith. Faith. So when you are obedient, it means you have faith. That's why the Bible says it is without faith, it is impossible to please God. You please God, in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, you please God by obeying him. You please God by obeying him. Isn't it? Because anybody who doesn't obey any authority, mommy, daddy, uncle, boss, man, you will not be pleased with such an employee. Oh, Tasha, what do you think? Yeah. I've employed you. And then when I say do this, you don't do it. I say do that, you don't do it. What do you think? You think I'll be happy with you? Yeah. Your rice bucket will be empty all the time. So, you please God by obeying God. And the Bible says that without faith, it is impossible to please him. So, faith and obedience are one and the same. Faith is obedience, and obedience is faith. When you have faith, you obey. And when you obey, it means you have faith. Samson, are you there? Because for you to obey what God says you should do, it means that you believe that he is the one who has spoken to you and that he even exists. If you don't have faith in somebody, you don't listen to them. Yeah. So many of the things we don't do where God is concerned is because we don't believe in God. Yeah. It's clear. Faith is obedience and obedience is faith. I'm sure many of you will say that God has spoken to you at least one time in your life. How many will? At least once. Yeah. And at least there's one at least one time that you have not also done what he asked you to do. How many will conquer? So when Samuel met Saul after he was supposed to have killed everything and everybody, and Saul said, oh, we left these animals to sacrifice to God. That is when we heard for the first time that obedience is better than sacrifice. Why is it better than sacrifice? Because even, who are you sacrificing to? If you don't obey, who are you sacrificing to? You don't believe in a person anyway, so who are you making a sacrifice to? Oh, you're not following. Die, die. Are you there? You're not following what I'm saying. If you are going to sacrifice without obeying or even recognize the person, what is the use of the sacrifice? Because the person told you, kill everybody, and you didn't do it, yet you are going to kill to who? To who? The person that you say you're going to, he spoke to you, didn't believe him to do what he asked you to do. Let's take a few examples. Number one. In Deuteronomy chapter 9, verse 22. So this is faith secrets. You want to know if you have faith? It's through your obedience. Yeah, there are a lot of disobedient Christians around. Yes, only one is honest. In the church to say, forgive me. Yeah. Now, you too, you are disobedient. Yeah. Even to your mother at home, you are disobedient. How much more God? Yeah, the one you can see. And at Tabera, and at Massa, and at Kibroth Hattaavah, You provoke the Lord to wrath. Likewise, next verse. When the Lord sent you from Kadesh Barnea, saying, go up and possess the land which I have given you, then you rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God, and you believed him not, nor hearkened to his voice. The first thing I want you to understand from this verse is that the Israelites' obedience to the commandment would have been faith in action. Obedience and faith. When God told them they should go in and possess the land, they rebelled. The rebelling is the disobedience. They didn't believe. So if they had believed, they would have been people of faith. So not accepting what God is telling you to do as you are disobeying is also equal to a lack of faith. It's right there. This one's comprehension, English comprehension. You read it and you summarize, analyze. What is the verse saying? It is saying that the people rebelled. Why? Because when God told them to go, they didn't go. And God is calling that as rebellion, and that you believe not. So not obeying is the same as not believing. So if you believe in God, you do what God is saying you should do. I said, if you believe in God, you do what God says you should do. You obey. And when you obey, it means that you are a man of faith. Most of the things God tells us, it doesn't make sense. That's why we don't even obey. We always want to obey things that make sense to us. But remember, we are not dealing with a God who makes things sensible. Yeah. Like I was saying, somebody speaks and it's very disrespectful. And I am almost getting angry with a person. And then I say, what are you there upon? Yeah. So you can't comprehend the things that God wants you to do. You just have to do them. And when you do them, it means you believe that it is God anyway. And it makes you an obedient child. And that you please him. And that's when things begin to work on your behalf. It's not everything you understand that you have to. You don't do everything that you have to understand. There are some things you don't understand. You have to do them. Do you understand how your phone works? When somebody sends you a message, it comes on your phone. Do you understand? But you use it all the time. You're on your phone 24 hours in a day. You turn on the TV and this and all of that. Netflix, watch movies. Do you know how it works? Is the movie? Did you put the movie in the TV? So you don't understand it, but you use it. Yeah. So many things we don't understand. Some things are even evil. We still take them on because we just like them. But when it comes to God, when it comes to the church, you want to be able to understand everything before you obey. It just means that you don't have faith. You don't have anything to accept the evidence of the things that are not seen. So the Israelites' obedience to the commandment would have been faith in action. Number two, when you do not believe, you are disobedient. When you do not believe, you are what? Disobedient. I don't want to count how many disobedient children we have in the church this morning. Many things we do that are signs of us not believing God. Tibon. You're a nice guy, isn't it? I spoke about you and he changed. Yeah? That's a very, very good sign. A sign of love, respect. And these are the type of people who get blessed. Since I said, if you sit here and mingle, the thing has changed. Landon, as he's dancing on stage, his life has changed just by obeying what I said. But you, he is hard. He is hard. Onwe. Especially when you get older. You can't teach an old dog new tricks, they say. Some people are not old, but they behave like they are old. If you know, no, Tivon is a good example for those of you who know what I'm talking about. This is how your life changes. Go here, you go. Do this, you do it. You see, so in a moment, because he was always sitting next to his mother and his auntie right here, like a prisoner. Yeah. I know it's not easy, you know, when you are older to release your children. It's a little scary. You don't want them to make mistakes. You know better than them. You made mistakes, so you're frightened that they will make the same mistakes. So you become very protective. But it's also faith. Let me just release the child to God and let's see what God will do. But I made a statement, just one meeting. Since then, the boy sits here. He's here to come and dance when I'm coming on stage. That's the one that we are looking at. God bless you. Oh, clap for my little boy, Tivon. God bless you. Yeah, it's a good sign. It's a good sign. So you too, I want to talk about you. Can I talk about you too? I don't know whether I have a good example about you. I mean, like Tivon, so I might spoil the message. So let me not talk about you. you know it. I mean, I don't have to go there at all. You know why they born. You know why they born. Yeah. Show me once more the message. So let me stay cool. Let me stay cool. It's a Sunday morning. When you do not believe, you are disobedient. 1 Peter 2:7. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. Anybody you believe in is a precious person to you. And therefore, when a person says something, you will not disobey. True talk. Unto you therefore which believe. To exercise, to believe in somebody means that person is very precious to you. If you don't believe in somebody, that person ceases to be precious to you. That's why it's very important to believe in God and believe in the man of God. Yeah. You got it? It's pretty unique. Believe. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. New Living Translation, for we Creoles, we understand what's going on. Make it simpler for us. Yes, you who trust him, recognize the honor God has given him. That's Jesus. But for those who reject him, the stone that the builders rejected has now become the cornerstone. You see, I'm sure you've seen these life stories before, even watching the movies where somebody is not believed, but that person turns out to be the savior of the family or of the group of people. It's like you are not counted as anything. Black sheep. Then after several years, all the white sheep now change. They become brown. And the black one who was not counted on, who was not believed, who was not seen as a precious person, that person now becomes somebody significant. Then you see that everybody now begins to, your shame and your pride, and you can't even say anything. That's what happened to Joseph and his brothers. They never believed that guy was alive and that he could be their savior and deliverer in a time of need. May you be like Joseph in Jesus' name. Verse 8, and he is the stone that makes people stumble, the rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they do not obey God's word. And so they meet the fate that was planned for them. So Jesus is the Son of God. If you have faith and you believe, you'll be blessed. If you don't have faith, you don't believe, it will be the stone that you have rejected. But that's the stone you need to build your house. The same person you need to go to heaven, that's the same person you are saying, I don't believe in him. So faith is obedience, and obedience is faith. And not believing is disobedient. Disobedience is not believing. Are you there? Is it possible that all the Muslims and the Hindus, everybody there, they are, of course, they are all going to hell. When you do not believe, you are disobedient. Number three, when you are walking in faith, you obey what you are told. When you are walking in faith, you obey what you are told. Tivon is walking in faith. You obey what you are told. When you're walking in disbelief or unbelief, you don't believe, you don't do anything you are told. It's almost as if somebody is giving you rules, forcing you to do things you don't want to do. It's because you don't have faith. That's why it's not so pleasant to force people to do what you are telling them to do. You have to leave people to either obey or disobey. Simple. Yeah. Because if you believe, your life will change. If you don't believe, your life will not change. I can't force you to believe you don't believe in me. So I'll just say it and I'll leave you. Yeah. If you don't believe, it's up to you. You see that the stone that the builders rejected has become the head of the corner. When you are walking in faith, you obey what you are told. By faith, in Hebrews 11, verse 8, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed. Obeyed. And he went out, knowing where he went. Knowing where he went. Not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country. This is the same country where the Israelites left Egypt to go to. Yeah, do you understand that? So this land that God told Abraham, leave your family and go, that land is the same land Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, his 12 sons, Israel, Joseph. Joseph died. And then Moses. That land that Moses took the people to, it was the land that God told Abraham to go. And it's Israel and Palestine. That's why there's a fight between Palestinians and Israelis. Because that land is for the Israelis. God gave it to Abraham. The people don't believe in the Bible. They say, who is Abraham? It's we land. And the Jews are saying, our father Abraham was promised, God promised him, this is his land. So whether you're here or not, we will take the land. The United Nations says, occupation of something, some occupation. They are following the things of God and the laws of Abraham. And there will never be peace because these ones are looking at it from the spiritual point of view. These ones are looking at the natural point of view. It will never merge. The day it merges, that's the revelation of the Antichrist, the Bible says. Yeah, spirit and flesh can never agree. You're either spiritual or you're fleshy. Yeah, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise. That land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. So when you are walking in faith, you obey what you are told. You obey what you are told. Number four, I'm closing. Not obeying and not trusting are one and the same thing. Not obeying and not trusting are one and the same thing. Not obeying and not trusting are one and the same thing. Not obeying and not trusting are one and the same. So, oh, the fact that I didn't obey doesn't mean that I don't trust you. Hello. We're looking into the mirror, okay? We saw this in the mirror. You can't change my mind. Oh no, I trust you, man. I just something. No. If you trust me, you would have obeyed. Not obeying and not trusting, they're like 1 + 1. It's the same thing. Zephaniah, if you know the book Zephaniah, chapter 3. Zephaniah, chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. Zephaniah, chapter 3. Woe to her that is filthy and polluted, to the oppressing city. She obeyed not the voice. She received not correction. She trusted not in the Lord. And she drew not near to her God. You get in it? She obeyed not, and therefore she trusted not. It's a mirror. If you don't obey, Tasha, it means you don't trust. Toya, you don't obey, you don't trust. Is it one and the same thing? You trust, you obey. Trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and hope. She obeyed not and she trusted not. She obeyed not and she trusted not. If you have faith, you trust. If you have faith, you will obey. That's the secret about faith. Oh, you know, I have faith, but trust is a little difficult for me. Oh, how can you say something like that? It goes hand in hand. You have faith, you trust. You trust, you have faith. You have faith, you obey. You obey, you have faith. The losing of faith is a losing of trust. And disobedience is the same as not having faith and not trusting. Right? It's one and the same. If you have faith, so I believe in God. Really? You really do? You really do? So why are you not obeying God? If you believe in God, if you trust God and you believe in God, why are you not obeying God? Why are you refusing and blocking all the voices that God is speaking to you several times again and again? Why are you so hard ears? If you believe and if you trust in God. There's nobody who trusts in God, who believes in God, who does not obey God. Faith is obedience, and obedience is faith. Stand to your feet, please. Finito. Yeah. Hallelujah. Let's pray. You are here this morning, you are not saved. I want to give your life to Jesus Christ this morning. I want to pray with you. If you trust in God, you have faith in Him and you obey. God says, I am standing at the door of your heart I want to come into your heart, because there is a day coming that those who don't trust me and don't believe in me will die and perish in hellfire. God wants to save you from that destination. Today is your day of salvation. If you obey his voice, faith, you'll be a woman, you'll be a man walking in faith. You don't want to go to hell when you die. You want to say, Bishop, please pray with me. I want to give my life to Jesus Christ. You are here like that. I want to pray with you. Just lift up your right hand. Bishop, pray for me. I want to give my life to God. Wherever you are, your right hand, I want to pray with you. Bishop, please lead me to the cross. I want to give my heart to Jesus Christ. Every eye closed. Can you close your eyes, please? Just close your eyes. Think about yourself. This is not a moment to talk to anybody. It's a way of distracting you from even responding to what God is telling you. Your eyes closed. Think about your life. Are you saved? Will you go to hell when you die? If the answer is yes, then today is your day of change. God wants to change your destination when you are no more. Bishop, please pray for me. My right hand is up. I'll pray for you right away. If you are here like that, just lift up your right hand high above your head so I can see, and I'll pray with you. Bishop, pray for me. I want to give my life to Jesus Christ. I want to give my heart to God. Never prayed that prayer before. Eyes closed, please. Eyes closed. Eyes closed. Those young people on the right there, I said eyes closed. Sir, I said eyes closed. You speak English? Keep your eyes closed. I want to give your heart to Jesus Christ. You want to lift up your right hand. I want to pray with you. Up high so I can see. Up high. Hi, God bless you. God bless you. See that hand. God bless you. All right. If you lifted up your hand, I want to invite you to the front. I want to pray with you. Come, sir. I want to pray for you. Come for him. Why are you smiling? You think I'm joking? I'm serious. Oh, you are not serious. You are not serious? I'm serious. I don't know about you. God bless you. Why are you smiling? You won't come or something? Are you serious, you know? You serious? Are you serious? Look at me. Ty, this thing, you think I look like I'm not serious? I'm very serious about what I'm doing. Wow. Come for them one more time. Hey. All right. What's your name? I like you. I want to be your friend. What's your name? Alwyn. I know your face somewhere. Oh, what's up? Yeah. Oh, what's up? Alwyn. You smile up. I don't know why you smile up. G, you smile up all the time. What's your name, sir? Andrew. Your eyes were open, huh? You're looking for a partner, somebody to come with you. I think so. I don't know whether you know the girls around there. You're wondering whether, are you going to hell like I'm going to hell too, or what? Maybe they are going, but they are shy to come. Maybe they are going to hell too. I'm not sure. I don't know. Yeah. But maybe they are shy. They're playing tough. Isn't it? The fancy girls. They want prayer. It's good you came. Amen. You are born again. After this one, you are born again forever, okay? Stop. Close your eyes. Let's pray together. I'll wait and call. Church, join in as we pray. Say this prayer after me. Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me with the blood of Jesus. I believe with my heart and I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe Jesus died for me, and I believe God raised Jesus from the dead. I invite Jesus right now to come into my heart, to live in my life, to take over my life, to be my Savior. I believe from today that by this confession, I have been saved from hell. My name is in the book of life. I am born again. My life has changed, and I have eternal life. Thank you, Father. Saving my soul. In Jesus' name. Amen. Father, I pray for these wonderful brother and sister who have come forward. I pray your mighty hand will rest upon their lives. Let them not go back into the world. There's nothing in the world for them. Let them stay in your house. Like David said, I will dwell in your house forever. Let that also be their story. In Jesus' name, amen.
We believe you have been blessed by the powerful teaching of God's Word. For booking and more information on the ministry of Bishop Collins, please call us on 592-225-6760 or email us at shepherdhousegy@gmail.com. You can also log on to www.shepherdhouseinternational.org. God richly bless you.